expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question for my guest, Mike Prox, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's Representative Mike Prox, 907-458-8255. How you doing, sir?
I am doing well. Thank you.
So, yes. You know what I'm going to ask you first?
Yeah.
Have you signed up to run again?
I have not quite gotten around to that yet. It requires paperwork.
You're never the type to be engrossed in paperwork, are you?
I hate paperwork. Funny job.
Well, okay. So, I guess, what's the over-under? What are the odds? What are the odds of you finally getting an opponent? Someone who's going to run against Mike the Crusher Prox?
Well, I don't know. I guess ideally, zero.
Oh, that's ideally, yes.
I volunteered for the job. And
thank you for doing it. You really did. You did. Thank you.
Yeah, I kind of knew what I was getting into, and it is my job. And I'm trying to keep in touch with people, sort things out. There's difficult problems. It takes a lot of time. But hopefully if I do well enough at that, then there is no reason for an opponent. That's the ideal situation. We'll see.
I don't think there's a reason for an opponent. That's my personal thought.
Right.
How do you like it so far?
It's a truly good life experience. It's frustrating, but there's just a lot to be gained. The best part of it is occasionally you get to help somebody out. The constituent work is actually the most satisfying part of it. Somebody has some challenge with the state and you can help them get through it, or there is some obstacle that needs to be removed and we can do something about that. That's oddly enough, that's the best part. I didn't expect that, but that's the best part of the job.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Child care.
Child care, yes. We have to work on child care.
How so?
Well, there definitely is a need for child care in the community. There's lots of parents are needing to work, single parent. Lots of parents do need two incomes to keep
household. You ever thought about bringing child services into buildings and having them do the child care services?
No, don't want to do that.
I'm being facetious.
Yes, I know. Well, and you know that is a big part of the challenge is that the state has to do everything formally by regulations, and you can't write enough regulations to address
child care.
Most situations, but everything that can happen. Yeah, and we have, in the statute, if you take care of, up to four children who are not related to you, and you don't need a license to do that. And
it's called babysitting.
You can do that too.
Yep.
But, formally, you can take care of up to four children who are not your own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to figure out how many people are doing that. But I think we need to focus on that end of the market because that works out well for many parents. if you have a child, well, the deluxe child care centers with preschool education and all that, that's around $2,000 a month. That's mm-hmm. pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And it takes a fairly substantial income to have enough extra money to pay for that. But the other side of it is if you have a child and you want to take care of your child, which I think is, you know, the ideal situation, you can take care of a few more children without, well, I won't say hassle isn't the right word, because it's work. Taking care of children is an important responsibility.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't want to make light of that.
Yeah, I'm glad you figured right. that out, sir.
Yes, it just took me
wow.
30 years.
Wow, what a concept.
Yes, but you don't have the state oversight. You have to then provide service to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And that, quite a few years ago, really, that was the way it was done, primarily. There was more networking within a community. We were more stable, extended families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that has changed. In Alaska, it's a fairly transient population because of construction and military in and out. It takes a while to make those connections. So, but anyway, that is, from what I've found so far, that is the biggest thing that we need to focus on. Figure out how to get the word out that people are interested in providing that service. And if you are interested, if you are taking care, or you have a child that needs taken care of, flip the equation around. It takes a couple of $1,000 to have somebody else do it. On the other hand, if you take care of your child, that saves that money. And if you bring a couple more in, you might come out ahead being in the home-based child care business.
I went to a friend's house last night,
mm-hmm.
and he's got 5 boys,
mm-hmm.
ages from 1 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked in, I go, "You got a child care service here?" And he goes, "These are all mine."
Right.
Yeah, taking... 2 over here, 2 over here. He said, right. 2 over there, 2 over there, and 1 upstairs sleeping, you know, the 1-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. And he's stay-at-home dad.
Right.
He's financially set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in his mid-30s, so he's done mm-hmm. well in life. And, you know, just is good to see.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets that.
Not everyone gets that. I was fortunate as well. I worked for Alyeska when we got married, was working for Alyeska, and so fortunately we could afford it. Yes. And yeah, and not everybody can do that. Recognition. But the problem comes in when you go above 4, then the state requires a license. And most of the reason for that license, for the state getting into it, is that there are government supports for child care. And if you want to take government support for child care, well, they have to meet certain standards. And then it starts getting complicated from there and expensive.
Ready for a phone call?
I'm ready for a phone call. That'd be good.
Good morning. You're on KFVR Radio with Representative Mike Prox, and your name is?
Good morning. This is Al.
Hello, Al.
Just for clarity, and you've mentioned it several times, that if you're taking care of children of more than 4 more, or more than 4 children, you don't need a license.
No, if you're taking care of
one to four, 5 or more, you need a license.
Right.
So that may be misleading to the public and not understanding that you would, if you're receiving compensation for taking care of those other children, you'll need a business license.
Correct. Yes, you would need a business license if you're being compensated. But then there's another license through the
daycare center license.
Yeah, right. Daycare center license.
So
right.
For, you know, so somebody said, well, I heard it on the radio from the from the representative, but I didn't need a license.
Right.
So, yeah, you need 2 separate licenses.
Yep, good
Thanks
point.
For keeping him out
That's,
of trouble.
Well, yes, and thank you for listening. That's why we let Al listen to this program, because he pays attention, keeps us on track.
Al, you have a great day, buddy. Appreciate it. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Representative Mike Prox, and your name is?
Good morning, Mike. This is Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to express some concern about the theft of the 9010 and now our PFD. And what are you doing down there in Juneau to protect Alaskans from these chemical biological assaultive shots? As far as the government with kitty care, they're all throughout the public school system. What are you doing, Mike?
Well, yeah, I am trying to encourage people to take care of their own. That is the ideal situation. That's what I'm trying to do, yes. And find alternatives to that. Right now we have the mindset that the government has to do everything. And in childcare, for instance, another alternative for those who, you know, for whatever reason, they want to go to work. It is, if it is either their responsibility or the employer's responsibility, and we need to put more focus on that as well. Look for solutions outside the government.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you proudly by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in for a visit to their extensive fishing department. From rods to reels, lures to lines, you'll see fresh and saltwater as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaskan-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear, Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors, Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports halibut fishing has been fair to good with most anglers, picking up bigger fish further out near the entrances of Prince William Sound, including Montague Strait and Hinchinbrook Entrance. Alaska Department of Fish and Game suggests fishing around Parry Island for those wanting to stay closer, and reports of catching Pacific gray cod have been good throughout Prince William Sound. Lingcod season opened July 1st, and several trophy lingcod weighing in at over 55 pounds were caught this week. Fish cutter Pat Olson said he's starting to see more pink salmon coming in, and has even filleted a few silver salmon. The 2023 Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby is Saturday, July 22nd, and is open to kids age 5 to 16. Kids qualify for prizes by picking up a free Valdez Fish Derby's hat and posting a picture of themselves with the hat and pink salmon in Valdez. Winners will be chosen at random to win cash prizes and fishing poles. The Kids Derby is sponsored by Valdez Fish Derbies, and there is no entry fee. Pink salmon fishing is generally productive at Allison Point and along other shorelines. Pixies, spinners, and Vibrex are all good options. The Valdez Silver Salmon Derby will start July 22nd with a grand prize of $10,000 cash for the largest fish caught. The Women's Silver Salmon Derby is slated for Saturday, August 12th. A pirate treasure hunt is slated for Friday, August 11th. For more information on the Valdez Fish Derbies, visit www.valdezfishderbies.com.
The fishing is great in Valdez, Alaska. It's also a beautiful place to get out and explore the waters of Prince William Sound. Cast from shore or spend the day on a charter. Have your catch processed and shipped fresh right from the harbor. Stop by the Visitor Center on Fairbanks Drive for more information on accommodations, tours, events, culture, and everything Valdez has to offer. Discover more at valdezalaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 76. West winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms again tonight. Lows level off around 59. Overcast. Cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. 76. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Got Mike Prox, representative, in the studio with me here. Mike, there's three seasons. There's construction season, there's winter season, there's political season.
Political season, yeah.
Now we're in the local political season, but we're starting to see some of the state races, you know, re-up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the Borough Assembly.
I was on the Borough Assembly 25 years ago.
Some time ago,
yes, right.
How'd you like that?
It's the same deal. It was good. It was frustrating, but it's tough. We have... There are always problems, and you have to do something. we have to keep the train moving forward. And the difficult part is sometimes you, well, most of the time you end up not having an ideal answer to anything. You do the best that you can, and you got to go with that. And then back up and try again next year, if you will. And just keep people focused on the need for individual responsibility. A lot of there's I make a distinction.
Government doesn't fix or correct all.
There is the word governing, and govern is a limit. The government sets the limit on mm-hmm. things. A governor on an engine doesn't provide one more ounce of power. It protects the engine. There's another word called providerment. And we're in the providerment mode, this organization, state of Alaska, Fairbanks, North Star, Borough, at all levels, we're asking the government to provide things. And that's an inherent contradiction, and that just sets up controversy and whatnot. But we all tend to do that, which is natural. You go out looking for things you want, not things you don't want. So it's
providerment, like such as the dividend.
Well, the dividend, absolutely, yes.
That's the big one.
Well, that is right now, and it is part of the problem. The dividend, people think we have a right to a dividend, and we do not. We simply do not.
Mike Prox?
This is Mike Prox, yes. I think, yes, the best way to spend the earnings off that permanent fund is to give it back to the people. That's Mike Prox's opinion.
Yeah.
But Mike Prox doesn't say we have a right to a dividend. It is, in reality, it is just part of government spending. And
your philosophy is from the top down. Give it to the people who will make their choices in economics. Nothing wrong with that. Great
Correct.
Way to do it.
Yep. But if we want everything else, then we can't have a dividend.
You have the restrictor plate.
Exactly. You've got the restrictor plate, yes. And we have to talk about that. We can't just demand a dividend and everything else. We can't demand free parks. We can't demand child care. As far as that goes, there's a limitation to what we can demand from education. Those things are really our responsibility as individuals. We have a responsibility. Parents have a responsibility to their children. We have a moral responsibility to each other. Just we have to accept that and not just throw people under the bus and look down our nose at people because they don't rise to our standards. We're there. We were put on this earth to help other people, not for them to help us.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, good definition there.
Yep.
The assembly,
mm-hmm.
different, smaller body mm-hmm. than the House.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to meet like the House members do,
right?
In their own quorum.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had John Ringstead on here, and who was past the legislature, and he's now in the City Council,
mm-hmm.
and he was lamenting that. You know, he has to, you know, the public information, you know.
Right, Open Meetings Act.
Open Meetings Act,
yep.
You can't have more than three people.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him a little bit to get used to that, you know. But you can't also talk with more than two other people about a subject.
Right.
And so that was fun, his getting used to those nuances.
Yes.
Because, like yourself, you talk to everyone, you say, we need to talk about this.
Right, yeah, and the you know, unfortunately, the Open Meetings Act is a serious obstacle for
getting something done.
For getting something done. For getting the assembly members, in this case, the ability to talk with one another and work things out. You don't have time in a public meeting to work things out. And then consequently, everything gets run by the administration and special interest groups. And the assembly has a difficult time really being effective representatives for each other, because you have to talk to people, and there's certain things that really it's pretty difficult to talk about in public. When it gets in public, it takes on a life of its own.
Yes, it does.
Yes, and that's a huge obstacle, and And then everything gets used as a weapon. That's too bad.
They hit you over the head with it later on.
Well, yeah.
Your intent was one thing, but the rest of your intent was another.
Yep. And when I was on the assembly, who was it? Rick Soley was the presiding officer. I was a deputy presiding officer. And Bonnie Williams was the chair of the finance committee. And we did a couple of things that were pretty cool. We announced that we had a retreat, and the whole assembly got together. We were up at Tina Hot Springs Road. As long as you announce it, you're fine. Yeah. And then Rick and Bonnie and I wanted to get together and just kind of lay out, talk about these are the things that have to be done. We got to get the budget figured out. We got to do this by then. And what are the things that we have to resolve? And we might not have even had to announce the meeting, but we did.
Yeah.
We didn't do all the hoops that are customarily done. And we were meeting next to the clerk's office. Door was open. Another assembly member came in there, and we invited him in. He didn't want to. Instead, he filed an open meetings complaint against
us. Is that Hank?
Nope.
Who was that?
Oh, what was his name? Veazey.
Al. Oh, God.
No, not Al. Dave Veazey.
Oh.
Yeah, and, he just disagreed with us philosophically, and it was a contentious thing. Instead of sitting down and working that stuff out, make it a big fight. And that's a huge obstacle. And being down in Juneau, there are some of the same constraints, but if nothing else, you get together in between committee meetings and after hours, you can get together and talk about things and get to know each other, and that works a lot better.
Ready for a phone call?
Maybe we should have another phone call, yes.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Representative Mike Prox, and your name is?
Hello, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning, Charles. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's interesting to me. I was just reading a book about financial crisis by George Cooper, and he included James Clerk Maxwell's theory on the governor's equipment, is on a steam engine and such, compared it to that. So that's mm-hmm. some good reading there if you really want to dig into the science
mm-hmm.
connected with your subject.
Yep. And it is. I was a mechanic. I worked on mechanical things. But any organization is a system, and it has to have some governing. Somebody has to be in charge, keep everybody from going too far off the rails. But that's governing, and that's what we should do. We should get together and say this is a limit that we are not going to exceed. You can't run around shooting people because you got an argument, get into an argument. Can't do that. That's governing. Settling that argument, that's a different thing. That's between individuals.
Should be. It doesn't necessarily mean that the government does the right thing, even though they call it government.
Right. Yep.
Charles, thank you for the phone call, sir. You have a great morning. Yep. Interesting way to look at it, my term restrictor plate.
Mm-hmm.
And your term, on the carburetor, there's a governor.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's a limited function. It's a limiting function, and we should keep focused on that.
It places the parameters up.
It places the fences of it. There's all kinds of things that I think you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am not in any position to force you to do what I think is the right thing to do. I'm just not smart enough to know what you should do. I know there's a few things that we should agree on that we shouldn't do, just to kind of keep the peace. But I can't be telling you how you're supposed to, exactly how you're supposed to raise your children or the limits of your business. We got in this big controversy here over the Moncho Mine trucking ore.
Yeah.
That's been a big deal. And the bottom line is that they committed to using highway legal trucks and following all the rules and regulations, so there is no reason. They're not doing anything that's really different from a governing perspective than anyone else. So there's no reason to single them out and say they can't do that.
True. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. going to have some bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and I'm trying to restrict this bumper music as minimal as possible because I think Glenner took it. It's Madonna. Oh, my God. But here you go. Have 12 seconds of Madonna.
Open up. Yeah.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Israeli President Isaac Herzog today addressing members of Congress as his country marks 75 years of independence.
With our greatest partner and friend, the United States of America, my soul is overflowing with pride and joy.
Herzog acknowledging intense and painful debate in Israel over actions of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's hardline government. The Illinois Supreme Court today upholding a new policy ending cash bail in the state.
Proponents of the Safety Act say judges will still have discretion to hold defendants considered to be flight risks or a danger to the community. However, 60 Illinois sheriffs and state's attorneys brought suit. A lower court said ending cash bail violates the rights of victims by letting offenders back on the street.
Fox's Mike Tobin. The extreme heat gripping Phoenix has set a new record yesterday. The 19th consecutive day temperatures hit at least 110. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
An ongoing eruption of a remote volcano in Alaska's Aleutian Islands produced an ash cloud so large Tuesday that warnings were sent to pilots about potentially dangerous conditions. An ash cloud with an initial height of around 5.5 miles was reported following the morning eruption of Shishaldin Volcano. But by early afternoon, the Alaska Volcano Observatory reported that the ash emissions were below 1.9 miles and the aviation alert was downgraded. The volcano is on an island about 700 miles southwest of Anchorage. The island's 65 or so residents live about 25 miles northeast of the volcano. Volcanic ash can cause a jet engine to shut down. And finally, a man is in custody after a stabbing at a gas station in Wasilla on Monday, according to Alaska State Troopers. Antoine Walker, 24, of Wasilla, is charged with second-degree attempted murder. Troopers were called to the Holiday gas station on the Parks Highway at Meadow Lakes Loop at 3:57 p.m. on a report of a stabbing. When troopers arrived, they found a man on the sidewalk outside the store lying in a pool of blood. Troopers took Walker into custody, and he is now being held without bail.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Feeling uneasy about your financial future? You need a partner that helps lighten the load. Welcome to Global Credit Union. It means early payday, your paycheck up to 3 days early with direct deposit, accounts with no NSF fees, and a mobile app with tools to help you manage your family budget. At Global, we take member care seriously with branches near you and a 24/7 U.S.-based call center staffed by real people. Join us at globalcu.org. Global Credit Union.
Gene's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram presents Guns for Roses and Walk This Way in concert.
Wrecked out, living in a movie.
Saturday, July 29th at the Tananaw Valley State Fair. First, it's Walk This Way as they put on an authentic tribute to the sights and sounds of the original Bad Boys from Boston, Aerosmith. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Two concerts, one night, an amazing show. Walk This Way. Then it's Guns for Roses. This full stage production brings you back for the classic Appetite for Destruction GNR lineup and more. This is a full 3 hour stage production. Tickets available now at Jeans or online at aktickets.com. This is an all ages show. Kids under 8 are free. Brought to you by Jeans Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the official dealership of Life in Alaska.
Welcome to the jungle.
Fair admission sold separately.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Mike Prox in the studio here. Mike, you going to the Guns N' Roses concert?
I just saw the sign when I walked in the door and heard the advertisement. First I heard about it. It'd be fun.
It's not what I asked. Are you going?
I'll make an effort to go to that, probably.
You're deflecting well, sir.
I got a lot of things here.
But Mancho, you said something interesting over the break.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that here's a company that is following every rule, mm-hmm, with their equipment, every rule that's on road transportation.
I was invited out there two, maybe even 3 years ago now, out to the site at Ancho. They buy Kinross. And they're, I'm looking around, and I'm impressed. It's orderly and a much cleaner operation, frankly, than I expected, which, by the way, the Fort Knox mine is as well. They really do good work. Anyway, they're talking about showing us around and showing the pit, describing this and that and the other, and I'm not hearing anything about the mill. I'm not asking questions. And then finally he mentioned that the plan was to take the ore and truck it to Fairbanks. And I said to myself, whoa. And didn't even ask. And the next day I called up DOT to see if...
That's legal. They could do it.
Well, yeah.
Or just, how could they do it?
Not just if it's legal. Have they been talking to DOT? Because that I thought, oh, dear, that's going to tear up the roads and one thing and another. And, yeah, had they been talking to DOT? And the answer was yes, they had. And DOT had been working on that and reviewing that quite thoroughly. And the bottom line is that they are using highway vehicles and proposing to operate by the rules. And so there's, it actually boils down to federal standards. We get federal money to build the road, so there's no legal way to restrict them from using a public road. But there are the problems now. And then DOT did, I think, adjust the bridge maintenance schedule and a few other things. They advanced the turnout lanes that were proposed between Fairbanks and Delta primarily. So, yep, they did accommodate Fort Knox. And anyway, then I got a call from Gary Wilkins, and he was bringing up all the problems. And I said, well, thank you. And, you know, this is good. And there was a whole list of them, and that was a good thing. Talk to Fort Knox. They want to know about that. And they had been addressed. They had been concerned. School bus stops. They obviously aren't going to be running around school buses, and they, like everyone else, are going to have to stop for the school buses. Like everyone else, they're going to have to do that. And my concern is, well, how is that going to affect their schedule? That's going to be about an hour in the morning and about another hour in the afternoon, where it probably doesn't pay to run a truck through the area where you're going to run into a bunch of school buses, because you're going to have to stop all the time. So my guess is that what's going to happen, and they haven't said how they're going to handle that, but my guess is the truckers have to take a break every once in a while anyway, so they're going to take a break when the school buses get to be a problem.
Or they might schedule it, you know, hey, look, we have a half-hour window in this area.
Yeah.
So we're going to make sure we have about, you know, two before it and two after. We'll stack them and pack them that way.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep. And was it Black Gold Transport, I think it's called? They, too, have gone above and beyond what's required. They're putting in monitoring systems for their drivers so the drivers are not eating lunch while they're driving or falling asleep or something like that. That's not required. They're going above and beyond. They're putting in a communication system so that they're in contact with the dispatchers all the time. So they're on top of it. They're going beyond expectations. Yeah, maybe that hasn't gotten out in public far enough, but the public should assume they're trying to do the right thing and just check on it.
Best job possible.
Yes, right. And that's the way we need to get along. That is going to be, yes, there's going to be some inconvenience. Yes, you know, there will be some accidents, inevitable. You can't get down to zero accidents, but they're making an effort to keep that down, because they lose money when they have accidents. They don't want to have accidents either. And when I worked for Alyeska, that was the primary concern. Additional expenses you can predict. You can deal with that. Accidents you can't predict. And so they wanted us to, just every year, you tried to get to zero lost time injuries, zero accidents. And that was a big part of it. That's a big part of running a business profitably, is you see the obstacles in front of you, you plan for them, put that into your work plan, and you get around it. And that's what they're intending to do. And that's what we should assume, that business they're going to do. Now, if they're driving down the road at 75, somebody better pull them over.
And eating a burger while they're doing it.
Or eating a burger, yes. But by the same
token. And going around a park bus.
Yes, right.
Breaking every rule out there.
Yeah, yeah. We are not supposed to use cell phones.
Yeah.
Or drink coffee or eat a hamburger while you're driving a car. But you look around and a good percentage of people are doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, how often when you're driving down the road and your cell phone rings, how often do you pull over to the side of the road before you answer the cell phone? Probably never, if we were being honest. But we should. And we shouldn't text, but we do. But we shouldn't assume that somebody else has to follow the rules and we don't. Somebody else has to drive 60, we better not be driving 85. We should adhere to them. So
there you go.
Police ourselves. Self-governing.
And when is that grand opening? When does it all start?
Well, they're opening up the mine part of it down there. Next week, the date slips my mind. I am having to do something else. I won't be able to go down there. But it was next week sometime, as I recall. And then they're going to be practice running the trucks for a while so that the drivers get used to the route. And then I don't know if they're going to start hauling ore on a big scale, but I would imagine they will be doing some test runs of ore, hauling the loaded trucks.
Then ramping up.
Yeah. Then ramping up, yeah.
Probably over a two-month period.
Yeah, and probably get going sometime early next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to, each driver will probably do about two or four practice runs, you know, round trip.
Yeah.
Get it down.
Yeah.
Before the ice is on the road.
Yes.
And then when the ice is
on. And then when the ice is on the road. And I've done some of that. And
just
you learn
speaking,
how to do
yeah,
it.
Just speaking from experience.
Speaking
is what
from
we're doing.
Experience. You bet. Yes. We used to haul containers of the drag reducing agent from pump station 6 to a place that was about a mile away, and I learned how to haul these starting from a dead stop going up a hill. That's tricky. Mm-hmm. But I tried it a few times just with me in the truck, and we hauled a few empty trailers back and forth to get used to going up and down the hill. And then you graduate to you go into it slow. You don't want to get in an accident. I'm sure they'll do the same thing. Just makes sense that they'll do it.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. If you have a question for Representative Mike Prox, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Are you looking for a rewarding career with stability and upward mobility? The Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development can connect you to job training and apprenticeship programs that open doors to careers offering good wages and benefits. Whether it's classroom or online, weekend or night classes, find the right training program for you. Build your skills. Build your career. Build Alaska's future. Visit alaskajobs.alaska.gov or visit your local Alaska Job Center to learn more.
Sometimes driving year-round in Alaska is more like maneuvering through an obstacle course than driving on actual roads. Snow and ice, water, gravel, and damaged roads? Ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service. Alaska proven, Alaska tough. The Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 for your light truck, SUV, and CUV delivers a dominating off-road performance and a quietly civilized ride on the road. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
Volunteer for the 2023 Tanana Valley State Fair. You'll have fun being part of the biggest community event in the interior. And you'll receive some cool perks, like free fair entry. The fair depends on its volunteers to make sure everything works. Help make the hundreds of fair contests, activities, and events run smoothly. You can help in so many ways. Please volunteer for the 2023 Tanana Valley State Fair. Learn more, call the fair office, or visit tvsfa.org.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 76. West winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows level off around 59. Overcast. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 76. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mike, Representative Mike Prox in the studio here. There's a lot to Mancha that most people really don't know.
There is, yes. One of the objections raised was that this trucking plan is a five-year plan, and that is all the mine is currently permitted
for.
If that mine goes beyond 5 years, they have to renew permits, and if they open up new pits, they have to get those permitted, etc. So Kinross is only sure that they're going to mine for 5 years, so they don't get a permit for longer than that. Others have observed, and I hope they're right, that no, this is going to go on forever, because there is a lot of mineral potential out in that area. There's a lot of land under lease, a lot of exploration going out in that area. And I hope they make some other discoveries and that this opens up an area and gets to the point where it does pay to put a mill out in that area. The back story that you get on this, one of the obstacles of putting the mine out at Manh Choh was the additional time and expense required for the permits. Mm-hmm. And that adds to their financial risk. And, you know, they decided that that wasn't worth the risk of opening up a mine, and yet they can make money if they truck it, which is amazing.
Yeah, they didn't want the mill yet.
Correct.
And for them to put a mill out there, they're probably going to need more feeder mines to bring,
right?
You know, aggregate there.
Yes.
So, you know, that you might have something 10 miles away, 20, 40, 60, 100.
Right.
This could be the feeder for that region over the next century.
Yeah, likely. And we need to look at that. Well, it's an opportunity for Alaska's economy, but mm-hmm. The other part of it, there's a lot of noise. A lot of people want renewable energy. That is going to require a lot more mining than we're currently engaged in.
A lot more nickel.
A lot more nickel, a lot more lithium, a lot more carbon, a lot more everything.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to have to mine that somewhere.
If you want that new Green Deal, guess what you got to do? You got to go mine the earth.
Yes, you got to do that. And so we should be looking forward for those things and planning for those opportunities and working with the industry, because, yes, we do want it done right. We want minimal environmental impact, absolutely. And mining has changed tremendously over the decades. They're interested. They know they have to do that. they can't just go, you know, like what happened up here in the 30s and 40s. You grab a dredge and go up the creek, and away you go.
Yeah. It's not that way anymore.
Not at all. No.
Darn.
Yeah. And they're doing a lot better job of realizing that has to happen and minimize the impact. I flew over Rats. Now I forget the pit on the other side of the Steese from the Fort Knox mine. I forget the name of it. But that is now closed and reseeded.
Mm-hmm.
And from the air, if you didn't know where that mine or where that pit was located, you had to look hard to figure out that had been disturbed. It's filled back in, the hole's filled back in, it's leveled off, they've seeded it, and now the bushes and the trees are growing back up.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, you probably won't know it was there. And, you know, if you go down Fox, go up the Steese Highway, and to the right is all the tailings.
Yeah.
When we first came up here, they were real visible. But now you have to kind of Look, it would have been nice if they had leveled that off a little better. I'll go along with that. But even at that, land recovers.
I was up at Gnome Creek over 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And out there, you know, in the middle of the tailings, mm-hmm. there was this this couple on their four-wheelers, and they were fishing on Gnome Creek in the tailings. Mm-hmm. And this guy had a photo, he threw it back, of this, like, 19-inch grayling.
Wow.
Just big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, it nature comes back.
It comes back, yes. And to Fort Knox's credit, they're operating, I think it's Fish Creek that feeds into the Little Chena out of that hill. And that area, Fish Creek, was mined in the 30s, 40s. Well, actually, it was in the 70s, up till the 70s. Mm-hmm. There was people mining that. And they did some reclamation work, and now there's more grayling in Fish Creek than there was when Fort Knox started.
Yeah.
So they're thinking about those things.
Then you look at, say, Pogo, and its footprint.
Mm-hmm. Very small.
You know, it's all underground except for the camp.
Right. Yes. And, you know, that worked in that area, and hopefully they'll find more out there and keep it going, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But, yes, it is any development, anything you do has some disturbance. That's just inevitable. And so we always got to think about, even on a personal level, minimize our impact with plastics and all this stuff that we're generating now. My brother's good at that, better than me.
Which brother?
My older brother, Phil. Okay. He's into...
That's his area.
That's his area. That's his hobby.
And that's what you can let him have.
Yes, right, yeah. We've got...
Does he have to do paperwork?
Not yet.
You don't like paperwork.
He just picks it up and puts it in a bag and...
There you go.
Yes, right. That's fun.
What are you looking at working on over the summer? Or what have you been working on over the summer?
Well, this child care... There's a child care task force. That's a big deal for me. The other had two bills that I thought were going to go sailing through. They didn't. One was on the nurse licensure compact. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. That's tens of millions of dollars potential savings in health care. And what it accomplished, or if it passes, if we can get it through, Alaska would join a national network, if you will, so that there's 39 states in this compact right now that there's one licensing standard. So if you get licensed in Kentucky, you can
go on to Fairbanks,
yes, and you don't have to wait. Well, it's taking a minimum about 6 weeks to just jump through the hoops, and that we're paying lots of money for traveling nurses, and we're having acute nursing shortage. So this would be one step in the right direction, and so I'm having to do a lot of work addressing the objections that came up. And then the other bill that I'm really interested in, forget the number, but it has to do with naturopath licensing. Mm-hmm. Currently, naturopaths are not allowed to write prescriptions for drugs. And they're trained to do that. They're just not allowed to do that because when it was set up, licensing started in 1986. And we just haven't changed that. So I want to get
Alaska has always had a prevalence to try and have those with a license stifle competition with those trying to get a license.
Yes. It's Alaska. One of our biggest obstacles is we have a very protectionist mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been there.
Ingrained in us.
Ingrained in us. Yes. Yeah, still there that somehow we're separate and we're causing ourselves a lot of additional expenses because of that mindset.
Or lack of services.
Lack of services, yes, yes. Yeah, it's crazy. We seem to think it's better to put up with no service than having something...
Bad service.
Bad service, yes. I'll take bad service over no service.
Right? You have your levels there.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What are you looking at doing in the legislature when you go back?
Well, those and paying a lot of attention to the budget, we've got to get that sorted out. And what I'm trying to focus on, I'm the chair of the Health and Social Services Committee. So
That's a big budget.
And working with the...
For a guy who doesn't like paperwork.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm getting used to that. Yeah. But what we're doing, we're trying to get the departments, when they report to us, to focus on measurable objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Not what we're doing, that's fine, but what did we get for what we're doing? And just really start focusing on that. And then of the dozens of things that they're doing, some of them are, if you will, more productive depending on how you define success. But it should be things that benefit people. And some things benefit people more than others. And I'm trying to get some sort of way to evaluate one project against another according to some objective measurement. And I think that will help us quite a bit to get control over spending and spend money a little differently than we have been. So we'll see if that works out.
Yeah, the governor vetoed half the
education funding.
And then all of the community assistance.
Yes. And roughly, it was, you know, something's got to give somewhere.
You gave them a balanced budget.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about a budget. You never know what the oil is really going to do.
Nope.
So you never know if you're going to end up with a surplus or a horrible deficit. You just don't know.
Nope. But you have to just make some guesses. And one of the things I really want to see if we can do is get the budget out in 90 days. That would be a huge
Sorry
step.
For laughing.
I know.
Yeah. It's just even you're laughing, yeah. what were we talking about with David's, you know, theory versus reality?
Yes,
you know, you're talking about the theory.
Yeah, yeah. But if we could, this train wreck that we have every year, mm-hmm. where it waits till the last minute, and then, you know, we get out in the middle of May, the governor has 30 days to veto. And in the meantime, everybody else, the city of Fairbanks, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, they have to, school district, they have to work on their budget.
I got one for you.
Yes, sir.
I got one for you.
Mm-hmm.
If I can make a constitutional change,
mm-hmm.
what I would do is I'd have the legislature do a two-year budget,
right.
These 2 1-year budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first 30 days of the next legislative session, you can make your amendments. To that budget,
yes.
Yeah. That way,
yep.
you have 1 year of other legislative options other than being held hostage by, say, a dividend,
right.
A budget, you know, things like that. Just have it. And, you know, if you're doing one, two is easy.
Right. It makes some sense. We have very volatile income, but we do have enough that you could do exactly that if we had the discipline and the willpower to do it. And I think that makes sense. Even if it's lower, if the decision is made, then everybody else can go back to work. But right now, the workflow is disrupted by the uncertainty of the budget. People, the agencies, the municipalities, the school districts.
Yeah, tell it to school districts.
Yeah, you've got this much. Well, that ain't enough. Well, I know, but at least we told you ahead of time.
And here's your pink slips, yeah.
Now you can do something else about it. But, you know, we still have there's going to be a meeting at the borough to way past the deadline for setting the budget. They're wanting to give more money yet to the school district. Don't blame them for asking. They're in a pickle. But it's just crazy. This should have been settled months ago, could have been settled months ago. And it's just we need to have the discipline to do that.
We got a minute left, sir. How do you want to end it?
Well, still working hard.
Yes,
and
you are. We're still looking for an opponent.
We're still looking for an opponent. And that'd be good. It'd be good to have the discussion.
Have something you've never experienced before.
Yeah, right. Get me out there a little more. That'd be good. But try to have somebody in the office. Our office is in now the Global Credit Union building out by Home Depot and Seekins in that neck of the woods. Try to have somebody there all the time. Drop in if you're in the area. Call ahead of time if you're making a special trip, because we can't always be there. But stop by. Happy to discuss things. Happy to help at least help people understand how it works. And then we can go from there.
Representative Mike Prox, thank you so much for being on. Fairbanks, you have
Enjoy
a great day. I'll see you on Friday, and I have the F-35 wing that's going to be putting on the air show going to be in the studio with me here. I'll see you then.
That's this weekend.